Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing? It's the weekend. Oh, man, this is like one of my favorite weeks in the ZGF program coming up. The creating intentions, creating new thoughts. Because this is where the rubber hits the road. I love it, I love it, I love it. I'm so excited to dive into it with you. For those of you, well, actually, I'm going to wait to kind of explain how to ask questions because I know people tend to kind of trickle in. But I did want to let you know that I'm going to review on this call what sort of like the instructions for the model and doing this thought work, even though you're going to have a video this week and all the other information in the program, because I feel like it's good to hear it over and over and in different ways, because it's sort of a theory that has so many crazy resistance aspects to it in people's minds. Okay, so I'll be going over that today. And after that, I'll go into any questions you all might have. So as a reminder, if you can't make these calls, you can send me questions in the Facebook group. You can also access the web page, the event page, which is in the webinars portion of the Rizuku platform. And you can just type questions into the Q&A box, and it keeps them for me until the time that we have the call. And if you're not on the phone, you can also type in questions in the question and answer box, okay? So for now, I'm just going to dive into teaching you this really important model, because I really want you to grok this. This week can change everything for you in terms of really being able to manifest what you want in your life and manifest the life that you want, okay? So creating new thoughts is super important because, as you'll see, our thoughts create our emotions, and our emotions drive what we do. And what creates the results in our lives is those things, right? Is what we do, the actions we take. Every action has a result, right? Kind of like karma. So every action has a result. This is instant karma. You get the results of your actions like pretty immediately in many circumstances. So you want to learn to pick thoughts that better serve you. That's the whole thing behind the concept of like affirmations and intentions and things like that. And, you know, some people have heard of the law of attraction or watched the movie The Secret or something like that. And, you know, what's really missing from a lot of the basic understanding of these theories is people think, oh, I just have to create the thought that I like, that I want to think, and then things will fall into place. And that's not what I've found to be true. It actually takes a lot more work. It takes a lot more work, like having to not just create the thoughts, but create thoughts that you can believe. So you have to have some skill, like working on the latter thoughts that I've mentioned on previous calls to get you to that final thought that you really want to believe. But you also need to take the action that is supposed to come from that feeling. Because what often happens is we have the thought, right? Like, oh, I want to start my own business. And then you create a feeling of excitement. And then you're supposed to take the action of, like, you know, telling someone that you're a yoga teacher, telling someone that you're a coach, or telling someone that you're going to start your own theater company or something like that. And then a new thought sneaks in. Right? A new thought sneaks in that then creates fear or insecurity, which creates a totally different action. So then people sit there and go, I don't get it. I've been thinking the thought, I would want to have my own business, or I'll be so excited to have my own business. But they're not managing their thoughts. So these other old thoughts that are fear-based and insecurity-driven sort of sabotage that thought. So this work is very important, because you don't just think of the thought that would be helpful, you need to know how to manage when other thoughts come in as well. So in general, I refer to this as thought work. In written materials or on the Facebook group, we'll call it TW, right? Thought work, TW. So basically, in this model that I'm going to give you, I teach you how to fit everything into five components so that no matter whatever the situation you're in, you're going to be able to deal with it with this model, okay? So don't stress about taking good notes right now, because this week you'll have this model as a video with worksheets and things like that, okay? For now, just listen, write down questions, and think of any objections you have, because it's super common for people to have objections, and that's a good thing, in my opinion. You have to ask those questions so that you can then convince your own mind that the work is important. Because if you're like, that's bullshit, I don't really believe that, well, then there's your go-to every time you don't want to do the work. So ask me the hard questions now. Tell me why you're struggling with an aspect of it or something, and let's just nip that in the bud, okay? And I promise to be really nice about it. All right. So in the model, which we'll refer to the thought models as the model, okay? In this model, there are basically five components, all right? And each of these basically represents everything that exists in the world. I'm not kidding, right? Like, in these five components, everything that exists in the world can fit into one of these five things. So the first thing is a circumstance, right? And circumstances are basically facts, things that you have no control over. They are out in the world and outside of you. They're not happening inside of you. They're things you have no control over, right? So in a circumstance, it's never an adjective or adverb or an opinion. Okay, these are just pure facts. Some people like to say provable in the court of law or something like that, right? I've also found it helpful to think of facts as things that everyone would agree on. Not just you and your best friends, like, oh, he was an asshole. Like 90% of people agree with me. It's like, well, but if 10% of people don't, it's not a fact. All right? So we can dive into that more in a little bit. So there's the circumstance. That's the number one component, the first component, which are facts. The second component are thoughts, which I like to think of just as sentences in your mind. Right? And they're usually about a circumstance. So they're usually about something someone did or said or something that happened, etc. So a thought is just a sentence in your mind. Now, feelings are good to think about in terms of being a vibration in your body caused by that thought in your mind. So a vibration in your body caused by a sentence in your mind. Right? So when you're trying to identify feeling, think of one word that will accurately describe that vibration in your body. Then act. So actions. That's the fourth component. So we have circumstances, which are facts, thoughts, which are sentences in your mind, feelings, which are vibration in your body. Fourth are actions. Okay? Those are behaviors. What we do or do not do as a result of our feelings, all right? And then the results are the effects of our actions. What happened as a result? So that's the fifth thing. So everything in the world can fit into being either a fact, a thought, a feeling, an action, or a result, the effect of what your actions created, okay? So you can take anything in your life and plug it into the proper place in this model, into a circumstance, thought, feeling, or action or result, okay? So it's really important to remember that. Anything can fit into one of these places. So when you're trying to deal with something in life, think about, where does this fit in this model? Okay, So let's go back and kind of see how all these five things can interact. So I'm going to give you some questions that you can ask once you've categorized the thing that you're dealing with, okay? So the first thing you can say, like, okay, so what is the problem, the problem that you're having? Is it a fact? Is it a thought? So is it a circumstance that happened? Is it a thought? Is it a feeling? Is it something you're doing? Is it the result, the effect that's happening? So put it in somewhere. All right. Now, for this example, I'll use a feeling, because often our problem is that we're not feeling the way we want to feel. So let's pick frustration. Okay. So to get the thought that's causing it, you want to ask yourself, why am I feeling frustrated? And if you ask yourself why, you're going to come up with thoughts. You may think you're coming up with facts, but that's the biggest mistake people make, is that they think these thoughts that are going through their head are facts. So you're going to ask yourself, why am I feeling frustrated? Okay, and then why am I feeling it? And this answer gives you the thought. So then you plug in the thought. Okay, so the thought that is creating the frustration is, the person cut me off on the freeway, blah, 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 okay? Then what that thought is about is the fact that you're going to put into the circumstance line, okay? So if you're writing all this out in order, circumstance, thought, feelings, actions, results, you're kind of working your way up because you aren't totally aware of the whole thing yet, but the problem is the feeling. Then the thought is the reason why you're having that feeling. So what the thought is about is the fact. So let's say, you know, someone cut me off on the freeway, or someone sent me a super annoying email, or someone sent me this. Like, that's not a fact. The person who sent it probably didn't think it was an annoying email, right? So the circumstance is email. Right? Or boss asked me to write a proposal. Whatever. Just something factual that everybody can agree on. Okay? So then you ask yourself, when I feel frustrated, what do I do? So now we're going back down to the A line. Okay? What do I do when I'm frustrated? And the thing to realize here is that what we often do is going to create proof of our thought, okay? So when you feel this frustrated, what do? That's the effect, and that effect often proves the thought. It's sort of a metaphysical explanation of the, self-fulfilling prophecy, so to say. So once these are all filled in, you'll be able to see that the cause of the frustration is always a thought. It's not the email. It's not the person cutting you off. It's not what someone did. It's your thought about that. Okay? So the result always proves the thought, because our thoughts create our emotions, which drive our actions, which creates what we experience in life. So it's actually super simple yet totally profound, because when we can grasp this, the creativity potential in our lives just skyrocket, right? Okay. So the other key thing to remember is that thoughts are always optional. Okay? Thoughts are always optional. We may feel like, no, like that person's a jerk. This is not an optional situation, you know. Okay, so there's a fact of this person is your boss, or this person is your partner, and maybe they did a very specific thing, an action, but your thought about it is always optional, always, okay? So you'll always feel and then create the result that proves the thought. And the way that you know that you've done the model accurately is to make sure that the result proves the thought. Because if you end up with, like, a really common one here is people go, well, I sit there and I feel like I have so much shit to do. So I get overwhelmed and then I just get up and do it, right? Like, I just get up and I do it. But here's the thing. Like, I have too much shit to do does not drive the feeling of I'm going to get up and do it. A new thought actually stepped in there. A new thought stepped in there and got you to get up and do it. So if you're putting in, like, you know, overwhelmed, and then I just get up and do it, that's not the, and then the result is like, wait a minute, but my thought was like, I have too much stuff to do. The model's wrong. You actually had switched models into a new thought. Okay. All right. Actually, let's use that as an example, because I know I've seen this in the Facebook group. All right. Like, in the Facebook group, people are like, I'm feeling overwhelmed. It's really hard to catch up. I don't know what to do. I'm like feeling like what should I do? All right, so let's start there. Let's start at the feeling of overwhelm. So the feeling is overwhelmed. Now, let's go and figure out the thought. What is the thought? Right? Why am I feeling overwhelmed? Because there's too much to do. Like, I'm 2 weeks behind, or I don't have enough time to do it all. Whatever it is, you may have lots of different thoughts that are making you feel overwhelmed. Like, oh, I have too much on my plate, or my kids are too high maintenance, or I have just so much I want to do. I have FOMO and don't want to miss out on anything. So pick one. Pick the thought that most strongly resonates with the feeling of overwhelm. Like, when you think it, you definitely feel overwhelmed. So let's just pick there's too much to do, okay? So then you're going to ask yourself, so what is that about? Like, what is creating this feeling that there's too much to do, right? What happened that created the thought? So it's not like there's too much material in ZGF, right? That has an opinion, too much, right? So you could just put ZG up material, but not too much material or too little time or something like that. Those are all opinions. So just put ZG up. Then you go into the action. Then you come down. So remember, we're going, like, when you write out the model, and you'll see this in the video, CTFAR. So we went from feeling up to the T, up to the C, and then we come down to, all right, so what do you do when you feel overwhelmed? Okay, so what do you do when you feel overwhelmed? And what that is usually not diving into the material, like the example I gave, right? Usually, if you're feeling overwhelmed, you're avoiding going into ZGF because you're like, oh my God, I don't know what to fucking do next. Like, where am I going to go? And then you end up watching Netflix or something, right? So what's the effect of the overwhelm in what you do? And that's usually not doing the work. So then what's the result? You don't get to do the work. You don't watch the videos. Nothing gets done. Nothing gets applied, right? Which proves, of course, there's too much to do because now you have all this material you still haven't done, right? So remember, because the result is always going to prove our thought. So if we have this thought, of course, there's still always going to be so much to do. And here's the thing. In ZGF, there is no getting behind, right? This is like the Netflix of programs, so to say, because people often, like, I don't know about you, but like when my husband's like, let's watch a movie, you know, and I'm always like, I don't know if I have the bandwidth to pick what I want to do, like, or what I want to watch. There's like so much in there. And so sometimes, you know, the course can feel that way. But, you know, if you can just pick the one thing and focus, then it becomes much more manageable. You pick your new thought, right? And, you know, this model alone, if you learn this model and master this model, this alone is worth the price of admission into the program, right? All right. But the key thing, you need to just change the thought, and then the whole model changes. Okay? So let's pick a new thought. Like I was recommending there. There's one thing I want to do. So why did you come up to ZGF? Like why did you sign up? And that's why I have, you know, clarity and foundation and intention coming before this step. Because it's so important that you realize why you're here and what you're wanting to create. So for now, you know, what's the one thing? Is it to feel better? To feel less anxious, less overwhelmed? To feel proud of your life? What is it? To stop overeating, stop over drinking? What is it? Okay. And as you have that thought about the one thing that you wanted to do in this program, you may start to feel more calm. Or maybe you even feel more excited, right? And so let's plug that in. Let's say, and the feeling, now you feel excited. So what do you end up doing when you feel excited? Then you do what you want. You know, then you're doing the work, you're doing the workbooks, you're focusing on creating that result. And then guess what? It proves that you want to do it. It proves that there is one thing that you want to do, that it proves that you're going to stop, feeling anxious, and that you're going to start feeling better, that you're going to get more clear, that you're going to stop overeating, stop overdrinking, or whatever that is. Okay. And as you work with me longer, you're going to be able to apply this model to so many areas of your life, so many places where you think it's the circumstances that are causing your feelings, your partner, where you live, your job, your lack of a job, your kids, your friends, whatever it is, you know, a Facebook comment, a lack of comments, your Instagram followers, whatever it is. So, oftentimes, where we get stuck and disempowered is when we feel that it's our circumstances that are causing our feelings versus our own thoughts about the circumstances. And this makes me think of the whole, you know, victim mentality versus the ability to be vulnerable. You know, we often confuse the two, and they can be very, when people are confused about these two, it can lead to a lot of unintended consequences. So, you know, when we feel that our circumstances cause our feelings, that's a victim mindset, right? No, this has nothing to do with me. They fucked up. They hurt me. They did this, right? That's a victim mentality. And I'm not saying that if you experience trauma or abuse or anything horrible that you don't heal yourself and be compassionate towards yourself. This is not to be applied in the immediate aftermath of something like that. However, at some point, to create the life you want and to put the power back into your own hands, you need to have a different story about that. And you need to have, and what that is that means you have different thoughts about it. Right? Not why did this happen to me, but why did this happen for me? What am I supposed to learn from this? How can I grow from this? How can my life become more powerful from this circumstance? Then you step into a place of vulnerability versus victimhood. Yes, that hurt. Yes, that was fucked up. Yes. Wow, I did not deserve that. I really suffered then. Have that self-compassion. Have that awareness. Put your hand on your heart. Tell yourself, I'm so sorry that happened to you. And now what are we going to do about it? And what I highly suggest is you change your thoughts about those circumstances that you have no control over. I mean, by all means, you know, if you have a nail in your forehead, then take it out, right? Have you guys seen that video? I'm going to post it in the Urban Wellness Club group. It is so funny. Okay, I'm not even going to explain it now because you have to watch it. But if you have like something obvious going on, change it. But what we often do is when we have power in a circumstance, we tend to just change the circumstance, right? Like break up with the person or change the job or change the city. And that's not really dealing with the true cause of our feelings, which is our thoughts. It will work often, temporarily, right? Like you'll feel good when you first break up. You'll feel all empowered, like, hey, I took control there. But then in the next relationship, those same thoughts can creep in. So I highly recommend that if you do have control over a circumstance, that you do yourself a favor and watch the magic of changing your thoughts about it first. Okay? It'll be so much more empowering for you in the future and in future similar circumstances. So what I encourage you to do is watch the video. I think it's still in production, but it should be posting in the next few hours today. But because, you know, it takes a while to get processed once it's being uploaded. But watch the video. Do your model, the CTFAR, you know, plug in the problem into the right place, ask yourself the right questions about each thing, make sure that your result is proving your thought. And if you get stuck there, bring it to the Facebook group, show us your model, and then I can help you get unstuck there. And as you guys get really good at it, you can help each other get unstuck there, okay? The most common mistakes I see are that people think thoughts are circumstances, all right? Or they do that switching model thing that I was talking about where it's like they think that the result is positive when they have a negative thought, but they don't realize that they actually had another thought kind of sneak in there, like, fuck it up, you can do this, right? or something like that. Okay. So I hope that that's helpful to hear. Now what I'd like to do is ask you if you have any questions about the model or any questions overall. So if you want to raise your hand and you're on the call, press star 2. This is a great chance to get coached live by me. And then if you are on the webcast, which we have quite a few webcast attendees today, type your questions into the Q&A box. Now remember, it can be about anything. It doesn't have to be about the model that I just talked about. It doesn't even have to be about ZGF. It could be anything in your life because ZGF applies to anything in your life. So ask me anything, okay? All right. So I'm going to go to the first question that was sent in here from Julie. And she's saying, okay, so this is really blowing my mind. Are you saying that I should stay with someone that I am not that interested in? Or are you also saying that theoretically I can be happy with anybody and marry anyone and I should just pick one and learn to be happy with them? Okay, I'm so glad you asked this. I love these questions. This is actually a very common one. I think someone even asked it on one of the coaching calls I did a couple months ago for a different program or something like that. Okay. Here's the thing when it comes to partners, okay? When you are with someone that is frustrating you, it's really important that you get clear about how your thoughts are creating your feelings. All right, so let's use an example like, let's say they're always late and you've had talks about this. You are really frustrated because it's a waste of your time. You're super busy and even your friends are like, that's really fucked up. Or wait a minute, let's go even deeper. Like let's pick something even more intense. Like let's say this person like took money out of your joint account or something like that and spent most of it on something for them, like totally frivolously. And this has been a pattern and this is the last straw. And you're like, this is crazy. Like everyone would agree this is messed up. I cannot be with someone like this. I cannot trust someone like this, right? So what's really important here is first to recognize that it's not the thing that happened, not taking the money, not being late. It's your thoughts about it. right? Maybe this person totally doesn't respect me. This person totally doesn't love me, or has no concern for my best interests or something like that. Whatever it is, right? You have a thought, and then that creates the feeling of anger, of feeling unlovable, of feeling like a failure in relationships or whatever it is. And then what do? You tend to push away. Maybe you belittle them. Like, you're so stupid. How could you do this? Did anybody ever teach you how to respect your partner or whatever it is? And what's the result of that? Right? That proves your original thought of how you can't trust this person, how you can't grow closer to them, or whatever it is. If anything, it also can be a reflection of how you're not loving yourself, how you're like pushing away love also. Okay, and I know this is blowing some people's minds. It's like, no, those things are really fucked up, or like someone cheating on me, right, is really fucked up. But here's the thing. When you realize that your thoughts are creating your emotions and the result, that puts you in a place of power instead of handing it over to that person who you claim you don't trust or can't trust. You're handing it over to them going, see, this is all your fault, and I'm just going to give you more power. You could choose to think differently about it. Like, wow, this person really has fucked up, attachment issues, or was never taught about money and how to manage it. Or, you could have different thoughts that create a different feeling, like compassion, right? Sometimes what works for me is to think of my husband as having like a mild mental illness. I'm like, wow, like, it is so weird that he's thinking of this in that way. Wow, like, that's just amazing. So instead of thinking of him as like a jerk, I'm like, wow, like, that is really fascinating that his brain works like that, right? Then we have a different feeling about it, and then we can come from a different place. So it doesn't mean you have to stay with that person. It doesn't mean that you continue to let those negative actions happen. But what it does mean is that you have taken back control of the circumstance. You have taken back control of what is happening there and can then say, okay, well, I know that I'm creating this experience for myself from these actions. I could stay, and I could do a whole lot of coaching to make myself feel better about this. And I've been in relationships like that, right? Like, I remember I was, hold on, I'm going to open up my LaCroix here, my LaCroix beverage. This one is apple cranberry. So I've been in those relationships, right? I have one in particular. This person was like such a piece of work. And I had a divorce prior and then struggled in another relationship after that. And then, so I was like, maybe this is me. Maybe this is just me. And so I'm just going to accept this person for who they are. Like, let's just see what would happen if I accepted this person 100% and didn't judge them and didn't have a ton of expectations and just let them be them. Right? And that all works well until they were continuing to do these behaviors that led to some negative consequences, and I wasn't drawing clear boundaries around that, okay? Then doing the thought work just to continue to quote-unquote tolerate those behaviors is not what this is about, which is what I thought it was about back then, right? But then I learned, oh, I see. So I can love that person and accept them fully and not want to be with them. Because what happened was I was loving them and accepting them and blaming them for all of my suffering by being like, oh, I'm just like tolerating this, but oh, I wish they would stop, right? I was still putting the control into their hands. So what's ideal is letting someone be themselves 100%. And no judging, no expectations, and accepting them, and then you can choose from that place whether you want to be with them or not. It's a cleaner place. Now, in terms of can you pick someone and just marry them and learn to be happy? Yeah, that's what people did for a long ass time, right? With arranged marriages and things like that. And there's so many stories. Like, you know, when I've been in India, I was so fascinated by this concept. I talked to so many women in India that were in arranged marriages. And these are obviously the women that I talked to had more privilege. Like they were from wealthier families and, you know, they had like full on matchmakers that really did have their best interests in mind. Like not just, I need to marry you off for a dowry, but like, you know, yeah, we do want to really find an ideal partner for this person. And they were like, yeah, you know, and then we grew to love each other. Right. So yes, like you could do that, you know. But the way I like to look at it is, you want to pick someone that you don't have to be freaking self-coaching yourself about them all the time, right? Because there's other things you could be self-coaching on, like your own evolution and creating your own magic and creating the amazing life that you were meant to live. So, yes, you could pick someone and just learn to be happy, right? Or you could just be okay with waiting for that person and not creating new thoughts about how you're unlovable or too picky or something like that, and just wait until the person comes along that you don't have to self-coach yourself so much about, right? But then, like, I have clients who are then go like, oh, but nobody loves me. And I'm like, what? You have, like, three guys propose to you in the last 2 years. I'm like, yeah, but they were lame. It's like, okay, but then but you can't have the thought that no one loves you if people are proposing to you, right? Like there's obviously an underlying thought about worthiness and having and being like, okay, like I don't want that person. Like that's fine, but step into the power with that. Well, no, people do love me, but I don't love them back, and that's okay. I'm coming from a place of power about it, not a place of victimhood about it. Okay? Oh, this would be so much easier if you guys could raise your hand, because I'd love to pick your brain more about this. But this person was on the webcast. So star 2 to raise your hand if you have any questions. Let me see. I'm going to refresh and see what else got posted here. Okay. Sandra says, I can totally relate to what you were saying about the boss. I really want to leave my job, but I have a lot of great benefits here. But then I also feel like I'm settling. What do you recommend I do? How do I tell the difference between if I'm settling at my job or if it's something where I need to do my own thought work? Okay, great. Very similar, okay, in the sense that you always want to do the thought work because you have to come from a decision from a clean place. You don't ever want to leave a job because of the boss. Because what if you go to a new job and you have a boss that you also don't like? Like, you want to come at it from a place of power, okay? So look at it like an experiment. And you know, it's funny because one of my colleagues, Andrea Owen, she is also a life coach, and she was a personal trainer for a while, and she really loved it. Like, she loved being a personal trainer. She's way into fitness and all of that. But she started, you know, feeling insecure in some situations and felt challenged in some situations in the job and basically, like, left because she didn't want to deal with it. And she admitted after being a life coach for many years, like, when she learned to manage her mind, she's like, if I knew then what I knew now, I could have stayed. Right. And so that's the thing. And, you know, I always remind myself of this, too. It's like, you know, we can choose to stay in the situation. And, you know, should she have stayed? She said she could have been totally happy doing that. It's not like, oh, I would have stayed and then I wouldn't be the amazing person that I am now. No, she could have stayed and been an amazing person, but she is now, just in a different context. So if you have the boss, okay, well, first, let me just say I am 100% about not being in a toxic work environment. I think it's super unhealthy. It's one of the main reasons I see people, you know, in my medical practice, it's like a huge reason that people get sick is when you're in a toxic work environment. I'm all about being in a work environment that is awesome. So let's just preface it with that. But not everyone has the option of creating amazing work environments on like in the present moment. It's more of a longer term endeavor, or they just have less options open to them at this current time in their life. And so, yes, like doing the thought work around how can I react when the boss does this? Like, can you give me an example? Like, can you type in here? Okay, someone said, about the relationship, someone said, thanks, that's a really helpful approach to seeking clarity within relationship and the struggles we encounter. Oh, for sure. In my, just so you guys know, in my year-long, or it's not even year-long, it's just ongoing, in my group coaching program, that was the Urban Wellness Club, we have different topics, and 1 month we dive into relationships and all of this, so we do this on a deep level, and you're, like, doing work on relationships that whole month, so I'll tell you more about that later. But so in the context of work, your relationship with your boss is, you can look at it as the same way as a relationship with a partner, right? You look at it from, okay, I see. Okay, so this person typed, they are passive aggressive. Okay, so let's be even more specific, you guys. The more specific you could be about the circumstance, right, the better. So passive aggressive is an opinion. What do they exactly do? Can you type me exactly what they do? Okay, so for example, I will be working at my desk and they will just stand there and not say anything. And then when I turn around, they're standing there like, excuse me, could you please move? And I don't understand why they didn't just ask me to. And then they act really frustrated. That is so childish. I'm sorry. I know that that's totally an opinion of mine, but I agree. That's totally childish. But anyway, so, but that's not serving you, right? So let's pick a thought that serves you other than this person's childish or passive aggressive. So the circumstance is, you know, stands there and doesn't say anything. The thought could be, wow, like that's so sad that this person feels disempowered or feels that they need to get their power from this. Or like, wow, you know, I wish that this person could find happiness. Right. This is the whole purpose of like metta meditation. Have you guys heard of that? Loving kindness meditation is you take people, you know, not necessarily always people you have struggles with, like everyone, and you send them the wish that they could be happy, because if they were happy, they wouldn't be fucking with you, right? If people were happy, if like Trump was happy, like genuinely happy, if he felt loved 100% and genuinely happy, like he wouldn't be doing the things that he's doing or making the decisions he's doing. If like any bully at school or at work, right? If any of these mean people felt loved and happy, they wouldn't be acting that way. So you could choose a different thought, like, wow, So one that generated a feeling of compassion, or one that feeling it generated a feeling of kindness. And then you would act differently, right? You wouldn't first let it get to you, which is so important for yourself, right? It's sort of this compassionate selfishness. It's like you actually benefit from not getting pissed at this person. And then maybe it'll open a little crack in that person. But whatever it is, the result won't be you stewing about it and feeling toxic about it in that moment, okay? So you can choose a different thought about what happened to generate a different feeling that will have a different effect, maybe not on what that person does, but on your experience of the day, okay? I always like to think about, you know, these amazing souls that managed to do this under the most horrific of circumstances, right? Like being tortured. Like you talk to the Tibetan monks and nuns about being tortured by the Chinese soldiers that, you know, when they invaded Tibet, and, you know, cattle prods and the vagina and just all horrible, horrible things. And They're like, but I meditate on how this is collective karma. And this is like, blah, blah. Now it doesn't mean that they're saying that's okay. That's a huge mistake people made. Oh, so if I change my thought about it, am I saying that that's okay? Not at all. That is definitely not what we mean. But it does mean that you pick a story that works better for you. That is all this is, you guys. All of this stuff is between our ears. All of our suffering, all of our joy, all of our ecstasy. It's like we have control over how we interpret what happens to us. Okay? And so I try to remember those extreme situations because I'm like, man, if they could do that, like I can do it about this boss or I can do it about my husband, right? And it's not, again, ignoring what's happening. It's not ignoring social injustice. It's not ignoring inequality. It's not ignoring, you know, important political issues. It's instead of being victim, right? Like, let's take patriarchy, for example, with patriarchy. Does patriarchy exist? Yes. Is patriarchy why women are, you know, not getting paid as much as men? No. The reason that women are not getting paid as much as men is because of the thoughts they have that being raised under patriarchy gave to them. Because there are some women that didn't buy into that shit. There are some women that, you know, were the only female attorney that applied to Harvard. They're the only female in the entire med school class back then. There are the women who marched for voting, right? For like they're the suffrage. Like it's not the patriarchy per se. It's our thoughts that we have that happened because of that system, but it's not because of that. It's because we had these thoughts and we chose to believe them and hold them and stick to them and not ask for a raise and not say that this is not fair, right? And the reason things changed and are changing is because people are choosing to have different thoughts. So it's not saying to not fight against changing circumstances, especially when they're crossing human rights and physical and emotional boundaries. But it's saying come from a place of empowerment and instead of victimhood. So how do you know if you're settling or not? Listen, I always think that we should always be creating the next awesome thing because that's what we're here to do. I'm not saying to create a sense of you're not enough and to always keep striving and striving because one day you'll feel like you finally got there. That's not how it works. It's totally not how it works, right? We make a goal, we achieve it, we want to do the next thing. That is not a bad thing. That does not mean that that first goal was not meant to be or that it was the wrong goal or something like that. I feel like if you're having the thought, am I settling? You really need to do the thought work or the question, am I settling? You always want to answer those questions. So do thought work, like do a thought download, which I mentioned in the previous calls. Like do a thought download about your circumstance and see, like, you know, is this really what I want? This is why, folks, clarity is so important. Get clear first and allow that. The thing you get clear about to evolve, like 10 years from now, it may be different. It doesn't mean you were wrong, right? What do you want now? Who cares if you had a different vision 5 years ago? What do you want now? Now you're different. What do you want now? Get really clear. And then look around and ask yourself, is this a yes? Is this a no? Like what things are, what things aren't? And then get clear through action, right? Like, and I think we talked a little bit about this on the last call. Like, sometimes you're not going to know what you were supposed to do or want to do until you do it. That's just the way it is. But what's important is that you're managing your thoughts around it and you're doing the best you can. That's all we can do as humans. That's all you should expect of yourself. Where we get all fucked up is where we think that there's some perfect answer, some perfect circumstance, and there just isn't. You get to decide. You can decide, oh, this is exactly the way it's supposed to be for me right now. And guess what? It always is, you guys, because otherwise it wouldn't be happening. If something wasn't supposed to happen, it wouldn't happen, right? Things happen because they're supposed to happen, or else they wouldn't happen. So things are happening right now. So you can accept that that's exactly what was supposed to happen. Now what do you want to do with it? Right? Instead of bemoaning, why is this happening to me, da-da-da-da-da, ask, why is this happening for me? What am I going to make of it? What am I going to do of it? Do with it, okay? So in terms of settling, often if you're asking that question, you know, some people think if I'm asking, then for sure it means I'm settling. But sometimes you have to remember that we get a ton of input from society that tells us we're not enough. We look on Facebook and we think like, oh, I'm not enough. Like, I wish I was traveling as much as Anna, or I wish, like, you know, I had an adventurous life, or yada, yada. And you, like, see all these things, and it makes you feel less than. That is not why you should feel like you're settling. It shouldn't be from comparison of yourself to other people. It should be from listening to that still voice inside of you, that still quiet voice inside of you that's like, there's more. And it doesn't feel anxiety producing. It doesn't feel stressful. It feels like a whisper from your highest self. And it feels more relaxing. Like, ah, there is more. And then you may feel a little nervous because you start realizing what you're going to have to step into to create that and the risks you're going to have to take. But that's what's super important, is not having your decision about if you're settling or not come from comparison to other people. Have it be from being really clear about what you want, and is that giving it to you? Like, there was, you know, a period where I backed off from coaching being my primary income to going back to medical being like 60-70% of my income, because I was struggling with postpartum depression. I didn't have the bandwidth to like make awesome videos and like, you know, show up on like on Facebook Lives and stuff like that and do webinars. Like, I just didn't have the bandwidth for that during that time. So was I settling by backing off from my calling, you know, to, like, no, like, I'm the primary provider. That's what I had to do. Like, and I was so grateful that I had that option, right? And so I could have felt shitty about it. Like, oh, look, I have to do this, right? This is what I'm having to do. But I can choose to look around and be like, no, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing right now, because this is the priority in my life right now. So this is what I'm going to focus on. This is what I'm going to do. The only reason I feel shitty about it is because I'm worrying about what other people might think or what I'm thinking about myself, right? So no comparison. What is it you want to create? Go back to the clarity exercises. Go back to your intentions. And then ask yourself, you know, am I settling or not? And come from a place of gratitude for what you do have, because so many times we don't have gratitude. And the universe in general does not give you shit if you're not grateful for what you already have. So I see so many people, maybe they don't have enough money, or maybe they don't have the job they want, but they're not even grateful for having the job they do have, that they can pay their bills and buy clothes and sign up for my workshops and things like that. It's like, let's be grateful for what we do have. Otherwise, the universe is going to be like, why? Why would I give them this? They don't even appreciate what they have right now. Not like there's a judgmental universe out there, guys. That's not what I'm trying to say, but it's just sort of the law of metaphysics. It's like when you come from a place of abundance, more abundance comes. We'll go into the letting go week coming up, right, with the clearing. But that is really important too. So you'll be diving into that. But letting go of stuff that no longer serves you creates space for new things to enter. Okay? All right. Let me go to the next question. What if there's an action you want to change? Okay, so an action, so that's the A line, but you can't necessarily identify the thought that creates it that needs to be changed. I eat healthy food all day and then snack after dinner on crap. Okay. Cindy, are you able to be coached live by pressing star 2? Because that would be a whole lot easier. So then I could ask you questions. So press star 2. Oh, there you go. Great. Hey there. Hey.
Can you hear me?
I can totally hear you. Oh, I'm so glad you asked this question. Okay?
Okay.
Right. So it sounds like you're doing a good job eating healthy all day, and then you have dinner, and dinner is healthy, and then you snack on crap.
Yes.
Okay, so we're doing the model. Do you have a piece of paper in front of you?
I do.
Okay, so write in a vertical line C, and the next line a T, and then the next line an F, and then the next line an A, and the next line an R. And then put in eating junk food at dinner as your action line next to the A, okay?
Okay.
Now, what is the feeling that you have when you go grab the crap food?
I think that comfort is the word that comes to mind.
So you're feeling discomfort and you're wanting comfort.
Okay. All right.
Like, you see? Okay. So put under the feeling, and you know, it may be a different feeling, but for now do that. So under the F, or next to the F line, put discomfort.
Okay.
For me, when it comes to snacking, my feeling might be boredom, and that feels uncomfortable, or maybe I'm feeling restless. But for now, we can just put discomfort, but you could get more specific. So then we move up. So why are you feeling that discomfort?
That's the part I'm having trouble, like, identifying.
Mm-hmm. Let's get more clear about the discomfort then. Is it anxiety? So let's go back and picture this. So you've eaten dinner, it's all done, and then what happens?
And then it just sounds like a good idea to grab some potato chips and have something salty.
So you have a thought, like, grabbing something salty, grabbing some potato chips, like, would be a good idea because?
You know, I honestly cannot identify the thought. That's what's sticking me. It's like I'm looking at your model and I'm going, it's perfect. But I can't figure out what the thought is.
And this is why, you guys, this is such a great example. This is the whole reason that we get stuck, because we're not aware of all the crazy thoughts running through our head. So I want to offer one for you, because this is why coaching is so important, especially when first learning this model. So a thought that I see a lot when I've coached people on overeating or eating unhealthily is the thought is often, if I eat some chips, I'm going to feel better.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense, because I'm reaching for them for comfort food. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Now, so this is a little different here. So I'm just going to back up. When you guys, when we're dealing with an urge, like overeating or overdrinking or porn or Netflix or shopping online, or an example of my husband, like a deep need to jump off a mountain to get an adrenaline hit or something, like whatever urge we have, the thought preceding it is often like, doing this will make me feel better. And this is kind of advanced, so please don't go down the rabbit hole with this. But in this particular situation, the circumstance can sometimes be a feeling, like this is where you can put a feeling in the circumstance line. It's not a opinion. It's like, you know, you are feeling like your body is experiencing this vibration that you're translating as discomfort. So let's just do you know if that feeling is anxiety or is it boredom or restlessness? Like, could you try to find a word for that feeling other than discomfort?
Boredom.
Okay, so let's just put boredom in the circumstance line. And again, you guys, this is like advanced, so don't get too lost. So feeling, okay, so boredom, you have a thought, like often that thought is something like, I don't want to feel this, or eating the chips will make me feel better, because often it's an unconscious thought, right?
Right.
And then you have an urge. Boom, you've created an urge. Okay, and that's what's creating the action to eat the chips, is the urge. The feeling is the urge. And the thought that created the urge is somehow thinking that eating it's going to make you feel better. Okay, and what's the result, right? Oh, go ahead.
That makes total sense.
Yeah. And then you may ask, wait a minute, Anna. In this scenario, is the result proving that? Well, you're getting a temporary dopamine hit, right? You're proving to your body that eating it changed something, right? Like, you ate the chips, which creates a dopamine hit because it's got all those amazing things in it, like simple carbs, which spikes our blood sugar, which temporarily feels really good. And it's got like the salt and whatever. Like, there are food engineers, y'all, that, like, make food because they know, they measure how much dopamine goes up, like, with certain food combos. So it's, like, real, okay? And so, yes, you've proven to yourself that eating the, and this is why we keep doing it, because we have proof, right? The way to deal with that, and I kind of go into this in my overeating course, and you may not be overeating per se, you're just eating stuff that you don't want to, but
right.
The principles are the same. What needs to happen is the deconditioning of that proof that, so you don't want to give in to the urge. So the first part, is to allow the urge. So not resist it, not push it down like a beach ball underwater, because then you're just going to eat two bags of chips, right?
Right.
but what you want to do is just sit there and be curious about it. Like, whoa, this feels shitty. Like, whoa, my chest is getting tight. And, oh, my God, I'm so restless. I just want to, like, explode and blah, blah, blah. Like, just get curious about it and learn about what that urge is like. You're just being present with it. And the best way to do that is just to describe to yourself what it's feeling like in your body. When you start spinning in your head about thoughts about how it feels, that's not helpful. So you want to just stay with your body and describe what that is. Most urges pass in 90 seconds. Most emotions pass in 90 seconds. The reason they persist is because of thoughts we have about it. Oh, no, I don't want to feel like this all night. If I don't eat the chips, I'm going to feel restless and anxious all night. I'm going to, like, blah, 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 blah. And then we end up, you know, spinning and creating the urge again and again and again, or creating other feelings. So if we can just be and allow those urges, often they will pass. And doesn't mean they won't come back. But the more practice you get with allowing that urge, the better. And the other thing that really helps when it comes to dopamine-related things, like these sort of snack foods or over-drinking or anything, is to plan 24 hours in advance. So I wouldn't just go cold turkey and stop eating the chips. Like, you can be like, tomorrow I'm going to allow myself this much. then it's not even a question of, am I going to have some? Should I have some? Am I going to feel shitty if I have some? I don't know. Oh, fuck it. I'm just going to have some. Like, that's what creates this problem, because then your brain goes, ha-ha, I can convince her to do it. Yeah.
Exactly.
You don't want to give, and you don't want to give your reptilian brain that power. You want your prefrontal cortex, which is your planning brain, to take over that. So you're going to say, hey, I'm going to have some chips tomorrow, but this is all I'm going to have. No ifs, ands, or buts. And you're just going to fucking do it. And then you just stick to it. So you stick to your plan. And it sounds so simple. But as you do that, you prove to yourself you're going to stick to your plan. Those urges no longer are what's driving the eating of the chips. It's the planning. Like, you've now planned for it instead of responding to the urge, because responding to an urge just feeds that sort of addictive cycle, right? But when you plan it with your prefrontal cortex, you're bypassing that. And the more you do that, the easier it is. And then you can even start getting more advanced in terms of like, oh, okay, so now I'm going to just allow the urge without rewarding it for an entire day, like no chips today. And I'm just going to get curious. And what I recommend in my courses that address this kind of stuff is allowing 100 urges. Because even if you may give in to them sometimes, once you've been aware and mindful of allowing 100 urges, you will be a different person. Like, by the awareness you have of having been with that emotion and just allowing it versus resisting it, there's just no way you can have 100 of them and not have a totally different relationship to it. So that's my advice for now. This is like a huge, obviously this is like a whole separate course, but I hope that was helpful.
That was very helpful. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Okay. So, oh, sorry, y'all. I went over. I think everyone's okay with that. If you had to hop off, you're probably listening to this on the recording. Oh, wait. Yes, Cindy, you had one more question?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought I saw your hand go up again. Okay. All right, everyone. So that's a wrap. Okay. I did want to tell you, I'm going to be delaying my launch of my group membership program because I met this amazing designer. Like, she's totally amazing. She's from Australia. And she just had such a great vision for the platform and everything. Because right now, you guys are on Rizuku, and it's awesome. But she's like a genius. And I've decided to let her do her magic, which is going to delay things a month. But don't worry. You still have all your support through the month of November. You're still on Rizuku. And even when I switch to that platform, you'll all still have access to the course materials here, even if you decide not to go on to the membership program in the future or something like that. You will still have access to the course here as long as Rizuku exists, okay? So I didn't want you to stress out about that. But I'm so excited. So I'm not going to launch it until December because I was like, well, should I launch it and just keep it on Rizuku for now? And she's like, no. She kind of looked at me like I was crazy. She's like, no, you really should wait until done because it's going to be so amazing. So I'm super excited for you guys to see it. I'm like thrilled. I couldn't be happier. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know, like, so don't stress about that. You'll have access to the course even if I switch platforms. Ask questions in the Urban Wellness Club, okay, in that Facebook group. And send me your models on there if you're getting stuck. And let's keep doing this. Y'all are awesome. Thank you for doing the hard work. Okay, I will chat with you next week. Bye.